More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Joe Biden lied, and we now have confirmation that Joe Biden lied to the American people in that George Stephanopoulos interview about the exit strategy and the plan for Afghanistan. General Mark Milley has also come out and said that our credibility is being intensely, quote unquote, reviewed by our allies around the world. Now, this is all coming out of these conversations on Capitol Hill, the first time we've been able to question General Milley. And what is even more disgusting is the fact we found out that their testimony, what they were going to say, was not even given to Congress until like 10:30 at night before the hearing started. All right, now before I get into more of this, I do need to ask you guys to do me a favor right now if you're listening. We were attacked yesterday by a liberal website that activated their minions to go and write us bad reviews on this podcast. They do that because it actually has a huge impact on the ratings and where you rank in the podcasts, and it pushed us down the charts significantly. If you have not left us a review, a five-star review, please help us fight back right now and write us a quick review wherever you're listening to this podcast. Now, let's go back to the reasoning behind why they waited till 10:30 at night, the night before their testimony, to give their official testimony to Congress, right? So you can look over it to ask more questions about what they're going to tell you. Apparently, the reason why they did this is because the White House wanted to vet their testimony first before they even sent them over to Capitol Hill. The reason why they're now claiming is because the White House wanted to vet their testimony, because they knew that there was a very good chance, apparently, that General Milley and others were not going to lie on behalf of the President of the United States of America when it came to our exit strategy. Now, there is a lot to break out here. Diaz, mark that. 3, 2, 1. There is a lot to break down here. I want to start with something else that is totally insane and shocking. And U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to join us in a moment to talk about this. We now know that General Milley, instead of actually trying to get Americans out of Afghanistan, having a strategy to get us out of Afghanistan, making sure that we had adequate protection on the ground in Afghanistan, he was spending time undermining and dogging President and then former President Donald Trump. Apparently, anyone who was writing an anti-Trump book had unfettered access to the Joint Chief Chairman, who would give them information to make Donald Trump look bad. How bad was it? I want you to hear these questions to General Milley, confessing under oath, yes, that he leaked all the time to book authors about Donald Trump.
General Milley, yes or no to this? Did you talk to Bob Woodward or Robert Costa for their book Peril?
Woodward, yes. Costa, no.
Did you talk to Carol Leonick and Philip Rucker for their book Alone, Can I Fix It?
Yes.
Did you talk to Michael Bender for his book is, frankly, we did win this election, the inside story of how Trump lost. Yes.
Yes.
And were you accurately represented in these books?
I haven't read any of the books, so I don't know. I've seen press reporting of it. I haven't read the book.
Let's have you read the books and then let us know if you are accurately presented.
Absolutely.
And portrayed.
Happy to do that.
Senator Blackburn.
This is just totally mind-blowing. You have General Milley literally confessing, yes, I leaked to book authors about Donald Trump. In other words, anybody that hated Donald Trump, call me. I'll tell you everything you want to know about this guy. This is the man who's supposed to be serving under the president of the United States of America. Now, instead of actually getting game plans together to get Americans out of Afghanistan, this is the crap that he was pulling. Doing interviews after interview, background and leaking to different members of the media who are writing books. Now, that's not the only shocking part here that people need to understand. If he was doing this to people writing long-form books, how much information was he leaking to just everyday reporters writing articles in the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post? The list could go on and on and on and on and on. I'm genuinely curious. And he's not the only one that was under questioning. Secretary Austin, quote, "We didn't fully comprehend the depths of corruption and poor leadership in Afghanistan." This is the reason why he's now claiming things went badly in Afghanistan. Let's just deal with that for 2 seconds. You're dealing with the Taliban, folks, a terrorist organization that's worked with the worst people in the world. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, ISIS-K. The list goes on and on. They'll work with the Iranians. They'll work with anybody that would help them blow up Americans. They deceive. They lie. They steal. They blow people up. They dismember people. They behead people. This is what they do for a living. They don't exist without this type of behavior. Make no mistake about it. Okay? They don't. I mean, they literally do not exist, okay, without this being their identity. We blow buildings up. We blow Americans up. We kill innocent people. We behead people. We cut people's arms off. We kill Christians. We enslave women. This is what we do. And now we have Secretary Austin, Lloyd Austin, Defense Secretary, on the record now saying, well, I mean, one of the reasons why things went bad in Afghanistan is because we didn't fully comprehend the depths of corruption. I could have told you the depths of corruption. Hell, General Milley, some of the people you were leaking to in these books about Donald Trump have written books about the corruption in Afghanistan, the Middle East, and Taliban, and ISIS-K, and the list goes on and on. If this is like new news to you that there's corruption in Afghanistan, even with the leaders in the military and leaders in the government and the Taliban, I don't care what side you're on, you're not paying attention. We knew there was corruption. Everybody knows there is massive corruption in the government. The government, by the way, that we supported and propped up, we knew there was corruption because, well, those guys want to live, by the way. They had to deal with the Taliban, right? They were playing both sides. They were playing America's side as long as we protected them more than the Taliban protected them. And then as soon as America cut and run and they knew that America was leaving, they made their new best friends, which used to be their enemy, the Taliban, their best friends. We knew it. This is how it works in the Middle East. This is not confusing because this is how it's always worked in the Middle East. So for the Secretary of Defense to come out and act like, you know, breaking news, I'm shocked. We had no idea how corrupt and how poor the leadership in Afghanistan actually was. So therefore, it's really not our fault that we left Americans behind. It's not our fault that we trusted the Taliban, a terrorist organization, to, quote, give Americans safe pass to the airport, which they didn't do. It's not our fault that we decided to give up Kabul when we could have controlled the entire area. It's not our fault that we gave up Bagram Air Base when we shouldn't have done that until we got every American out to give overwatch and give air support in case the Taliban decide to screw with us. It's not our fault. We just didn't see it coming. We didn't fully comprehend the depths of corruption and poor leadership in Afghanistan. Oh, my gosh, how stupid are you?
...is due in large part to our planning and prepositioning of forces. As for the mission's end, My judgment remains that extending beyond the end of August would have greatly imperiled our people and our mission. The Taliban made clear that their cooperation would end on the 1st of September. And as you know, we faced grave and growing threats from ISIS-K. So staying longer than we did would have made it even more dangerous for our people and would have not have significantly changed the number of evacuees we could get out. So as we consider these tactical issues today, we must also ask ourselves some equally tough questions about the wider war itself and pause to think about the lessons that we've learned over the past 20 years. Did we have the right strategy? Did we have too many strategies? Did we put too much faith in our ability to build effective Afghan institutions, an army, an air force, a police force, and government ministries? We helped build a state, but we could not forge a nation. The fact that the Afghan army that we and our partners trained simply melted away, in many cases without firing a shot, took us all by surprise, and it would be dishonest to claim otherwise. We need to consider some uncomfortable truths: that we did not fully comprehend the depth of corruption and poor leadership in their senior ranks, that we did not grasp the damaging effect of frequent and unexplained rotations by President Ghani of his commanders, that we did not anticipate the snowball effect caused by the deals that the Taliban commanders struck with local leaders in the wake of the Doha Agreement, that the Doha Agreement itself had a demoralizing effect on Afghan soldiers, and that we failed to fully grasp that there was only so much for which and for whom many of the Afghan forces would fight. We provided the Afghan military with equipment and aircraft and the skills to use them. And over the years, they often fought bravely, and tens of thousands of Afghan soldiers and police officers died. But in the end, we couldn't provide them with the will to win, at least not all of them. And as a veteran of that war, I am personally reckoning with all of that.
There it is. So, hey, you know what? Sorry, we thought we did everything we could. Apparently, you know, we just didn't see it all coming. Really? General Milley, by the way, also admitting Biden's Afghan evacuation was a, quote, strategic failure. Failure. His words. Strategic failure. If these are the guys that we're supposed to be trusting to deal with the Chinese, the Russians, and every other threat around the world, we are screwed.
The president called this entire retrograde operation an extraordinary success. General Miller, in his testimony, disagreed with that assertion. General Milley, was this Afghanistan retrograde operation an extraordinary success?
There's two operations, Senator.
Just yes or no. I have a lot of questions. Was this an extraordinary success?
Senator, with all due respect, there's two operations. There's the retrograde, which Miller was in charge of, and there's the NEO, which CENTCOM was in charge of. The retrograde was executed and ended by mid-July with a residual force to defend the embassy. The NEO.
You and I have discussed this. Would you use the term extraordinary success for what took place in August in Afghanistan?
That's the non-combatant evacuation. And I think one of the other senators said it very well. It was a logistical success, but a strategic failure.
A logistical success, but a strategic failure? How dumb do they think we are?
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores. Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course. The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on,
but we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining me now to talk about this is U.S. Senator Marsha Blackburn. Senator, I appreciate you coming on. I have never seen somebody just so willfully admit, yeah, I leak stuff all the time. I was leaking stuff on Trump to anybody that called me, anybody writing a book to take down Donald Trump or attack Donald Trump. And he was talking to all of them. Were you as shocked as I was when I heard all these authors? I mean, it's everybody in town.
You know, Ben, we got into this because we knew he had talked to Robert Costa and Bob Woodward. So that Woodward had said, yeah, he talked to us. But then we found out there are these other two books that are also coming along that Milley had talked to those authors, or their attributions that were made. So I said, look, on this Afghanistan hearing, let's use this as an opportunity to nail him down to see what he really did or did not do, because he should not be talking about his commander-in-chief. And Trump was the commander-in-chief when he gave these interviews. So I have asked for transcripts and readouts. I want to know if he made these interviews in the presence of Pentagon staff, if he used federal resources when he gave these interviews, or with any information that he distributed to these reporters. Now, bear in mind, this is a general, Joint Chiefs of Staff chairman, who sits in front of us and says repeatedly yesterday, oh, I cannot give you a readout of my conversation or the exact advice I gave the president. Even though they say, yes, we told him he needed to keep 2,500 troops. But then he turns around and he willfully talks to reporters about President Donald Trump, who was at that point in time his commander-in-chief. The guy cannot do this. He cannot say on the one hand, but on the other hand. He cannot provide information about the nation's security to somebody that is outside of his chain of command.
Well, let's talk about just the chain of command here. It's obvious, I think, from these interviews with all of these authors that he had apparently unlimited amount of time to spend with them dogging the president of the United States of America, Donald Trump, right? Because these books are about Trump, and they're about attacking Trump. He clearly can't stand President Trump and was undermining him, especially after he lost the election. Aren't there rules about that? Like, if you can't serve the president or don't feel comfortable serving the president, isn't it your duty to resign at that point?
Yes, it is your duty to resign. And we had a couple of the members ask about the resignation, because through this entire debacle, yesterday was the first time that we have heard from General McKenzie, the head of CENTCOM, Secretary Austin, the Secretary of Defense, and General Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. And we have tried to get with them because we've had 2,000 cases that we're trying to work on getting people out of Afghanistan. and they have been unavailable. They've been unavailable until yesterday to come to us at Senate Armed Services. And then, Ben, they submitted their testimony at 10:30 at night on Monday night, limiting the amount of time we had to prepare. They said the testimony was late because, get this, the White House had to review the testimony. Well, the White House needs to remember, and these generals need to remember, we do not have the military controlling the people in the government in this country. It is the people that are in charge, the civilian sector that is in charge of not only the government, but of the U.S. military.
You know, you look at the questioning, and I have about four different aspects of this that I want to cover. So I want to go back to just the credibility issue right now. Yesterday, one of your colleagues from Mississippi was asking this exact question, Roger Wicker, saying, hey, like, how bad is our credibility now with our allies? And General Milley did say, he said, well, we're in a kind of a time of like they're looking at what happens next. But he did say he did agree with the assessment that there has been damage done to our credibility. It's more than just damage. I mean, we've got the UK saying we won't count on America with military exercises and doing things together right now, at least not under the Biden administration, because we just can't trust them. This is more than damage. We have people now saying we can't rely on America as an ally.
Well, that is very true. And think about our friends in Hong Kong and in Taiwan, because China is all in the middle of this. And you have a U.S. military that has promised to be there to help you, and you can't depend on them. Think about Qatar and the Qataris, who have really stepped up and have said, hey, USA, you're dropping the ball on this. We've got one of your biggest bases here at Doha, and we're going to step up and help you, but you got to get your act together on this. How about Jordan, another of our allies? How about Israel? My goodness, look at what they're facing now, because you have the Chinese who are backing the Taliban and had already signaled to us they were going to be backing the Taliban. They never give direct military support. They do political and economic support. And they're backing the Taliban because they knew they were going to end up being in charge of Afghanistan. And the Chinese Communist Party wants a direct land route from Beijing to Tehran. They want to manufacture affordable, air quotes around, affordable military equipment. And Tehran wants to supply that to their terrorist proxy organizations like Hezbollah and Hamas and ISIS and Al-Qaeda and the Taliban. And now you have a safe haven for terrorists there in Afghanistan so they can go cook up their plots, so they can attack us. Because of Joe Biden, the world is a much less safe place, and his conduct has been disgusting.
Let's talk about the Americans that are left behind. There was a very interesting back and forth at this committee hearing yesterday on that exact question. And it was talking about how many Americans have been left behind. You say, you know, that y'all aren't going to leave people behind. But even Senator Tom Cotton made it clear you guys did leave Americans behind. Don't act like you didn't. You did. In fact, we're trying to get them out. I know you're involved in that. How, do we know even how many Americans have been left behind right now? I'm talking about American citizens, not counting any of the people that we promised we'd get them out, the translators and others that helped us and worked in our embassy and worked with our troops, just American citizens. And that was the point Senator Cotton and you and others were making, is you guys have left people. Don't act like you didn't leave people behind. You left Americans behind.
Yes, and they did, and they could not give us an answer. Senator Cotton asked, Senator Sullivan asked, Senator Kaine asked. So there was bipartisan frustration about not getting a number, Senator Kaine, who's out of Virginia, even told him during our first round of questioning, he said, okay, I'm going to ask you this question again when we do the second round of questioning, and you've got all of this support staff sitting back there. Give me a number. How many Americans are left? How many of our allies are left? How many of our Afghan partners are left? How many family members are left? They don't know. State doesn't know. DOD doesn't know. And we left that hearing yesterday still without a number of American citizens that are in harm's way and are behind enemy lines. And they, even this far, 45 days after it been, they have not developed a list. So you look at this debacle and you have to say, they intended it to be this way. And they don't give a ripping flip about who is left in Afghanistan. Joe Biden wanted to be out by September 11th. He wanted to say, hey, look at me. I'm the guy. I did this. I ended the war. But he missed the whole point. It's not the war with Afghanistan. It is the war on terror. And what he has done is to embolden the terrorist, because it's a group of people that have been loyal to an ideology. And they've always rallied around the ideology, the let's have a global jihad. And now he has turned a country over to them. So they have a safe haven to go in and plan their dirty deeds.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carvin and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Senator, I want to get into another major point that came out when you guys were questioning our military leaders. One of those is they seem to be honest about the fact that they did, in fact, advise Joe Biden to not pull all troops out. they both claim, basically, that when they were testifying before you, that they wanted to leave a force of probably about 2,500 to maybe 3,500 troops in Afghanistan. That's actually the Trump plan, the Trump doctrine, if you want to be honest about it. So Joe Biden lied to George Stephanopoulos. He lied to the American people when he said no one told him that we should leave troops there. Otherwise, the whole country would fall quickly. Were you shocked by the candor and really, in many ways, telling the truth through the president completely under the bus here that he lied to the American people?
Yeah, you know, I think what they did do is throw the president under the bus. And I thought that's kind of the hill that they all chose to, I guess, die on, if you will, because I doubt they're going to be in their positions for very much longer, because they each said, and you know what, Ben, this confirms what General Scotty Miller told us in a classified setting, that there had been the recommendation that there be a minimum of 2,500 troops so that they could hold the Bagram airfield and the prison that was there. They could hold the embassy and provide support at Hekaya Airport. So 2,500 was the minimum. As General McKenzie said yesterday, and he's the commander of CENTCOM, that they had recommended that they plus up to 4,000 so that they could appropriately conduct an investigation. But of course, what they said was General Miller, General McKenzie's advice was communicated to the president. He received that advice, but he decided to do something differently. Now, what they kind of nuanced and beat around the bush about was whether or not they, as the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, serves as the president's primary military advisor. So what we don't know is if General Milley took the time to say, Mr. President, we're going to lose troops and we're going to lose people. We cannot facilitate at that tempo. We don't know if he challenged the president in any way, shape, or form. Now, the other little tidbit on this is that yesterday in Jen Psaki's briefing, she kind of raised the curtain a little bit when she said, well, in addition to the generals, we get other advice. So we know that Susan Rice, Ron Klain, Jake Sullivan, Antony Blinken, that they all had been advised by the generals also on what should be the withdrawal strategy and an Afghanistan strategy. And we are now left to ask the question, well, did they advise the president just to move forward and do what he wanted to do and say to hell with the advice of the commanders on the ground? We're going to take that victory dance on September 11th, come hell or high water, so roll the dice. It's going to be messy regardless. Roll the dice. Let's get out of there. So that creates another set of questions, and I am sure that our colleagues in the House are going to pick up on some of these things as they have General Milley, Austin, and McKenzie in front of them today.
Let's talk quickly about your tweet. You have said, and there's been so many, I think it's actually sad what we have seen now happen, and I'm talking about the politics of every time someone doesn't like somebody, it's, you know, well, we got to impeach him or they must resign et cetera. You're not one of those that's done that. You did tweet out, and I want people to understand why you're saying this. You believe that the president, Joe Biden, should resign over the Afghan debacle. Give people the reasoning behind it, because there's so many people now, unfortunately, like, oh, I don't like him, resign. Oh, we should impeach him, impeach that person, impeach this person, impeach Trump again. Let's impeach this person. That's not what you're saying here. It's not because you don't like Joe Biden. That's not why you're saying he should resign. It's because of his actual handling as the commander-in-chief over Afghanistan.
That is correct. And as I said in my second round of questioning to General Milley, his job is to make certain that all of the commanders, all of our combatant command, like CENTCOM, SOUTHCOM, that they all understand what their mission is, that everybody is ready to move forward to fulfill their mission. And General Milley did not fulfill that obligation. He is also there to advise the President of the United States. Now, President Biden, with how he made his decision of coming out on a date certain and breaking the agreement with our allies, with our NATO partners, with the Afghan government, by putting our troops in peril, putting them in an impossible situation, causing confusion with our allies, they're not knowing if they can trust us. Indeed, General Milley yesterday admitted that our credibility is damaged. Because of that, and his role as Commander-in-Chief, Joe Biden should resign. Kamala Harris, who says she was the last person in the room and that she fully supported this decision, she should resign. General Milley, Secretary Austin, they should resign. Antony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, who's the head of national security. These are all people who should resign because of the damage they have done to our men and women in uniform, to our commitment with our allies. This is something that we are going to suffer the consequences of these decisions for decades to come.
Last question for you, Senator, and this is going to be a quick pivot, but it's an important issue. We're hearing about a possible government shutdown. We've also been told that even Bernie Sanders is now threatening to blow up the Biden spending splurge if his certain conditions aren't met. We've been told that the president's been whining and dining certain Democrats in the Senate, your colleagues, begging them to get on board with the biggest increase in spending in our my lifetime, certainly. Where are we with this budget?
Well, in anybody's lifetime, this is bigger than what Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson did together. So the New Deal and the Great Society, this is more spending than those two combined. But we are hearing that Pelosi and Schumer are going to do a CR that will go through December 3rd. They're not going to get my vote for it, but what they do not want is to have this government shutdown on their watch. And then Biden is going to continue to push to finish this reconciliation bill. But the more he talks about it, the more people come out and say, I'm not voting for that. So let him keep talking.
Senator, I really appreciate your time. Obviously, we're going to have you back on very soon. Quick reminder for you guys. Make sure you hit the share button and share this podcast with your family and friends. Also, if you have not written us a review, as I mentioned earlier, we got attacked by a liberal website and they had a call to action asking people to write us bad reviews on Apple iTunes, Spreaker, Spotify, etc. So wherever you're listening to this right now, if you have not written a review for our podcast, if you would do that, help us fight back. They're trying to push this show down the charts. And have other shows above it that are liberal. So if you guys will help us fight back, we'd really appreciate it. Write us a review and share this podcast on social media with your family and friends. All right, I'll see you back here tomorrow. Have a great rest of your day.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.